Happy New Year, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Damme in Washington.
And I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering this New Year's Day, Friday, January 1st, 2015. What do people of South Sudan hope to see in 2016?
Well, my resolution for this year is that we hope there will be peace, hopefully.
Let us stay in peace. Let us have peace, everybody to be in peace.
A year of development. A year of progress and a year of change.
I wish the government should do the best for the people of South Sudan.
And El Nino and conflicts like the one in South Sudan have made hunger a widespread problem in parts of Africa.
What makes things different this year is the combination of drought and then an El Nino weather event coming right after that, so that people are effectively being hit by two consecutive years of reduced rainfall.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
'15 has proven to be one of the most difficult years for South Sudanese in the country's brief history. Tens of thousands of people struggled to feed their families, and thousands of others have been forced to take refuge at United Nations Protection of Civilian Sites in Juba, Bor, Malakal, and Bentiu due to the conflict that erupted in Juba in late 2013. Humanitarian agencies have been assisting internally displaced persons with medical and other basic needs, but warn that food insecurity could worsen in South Sudan in 2016. Our reporters in Bor and Wau asked residents about their expectations and resolutions for 2016, and we begin by hearing from people in Wau.
My resolution for the new year 2016 is to increase my business to go on well. Actually, this year we have suffered a little bit, and you know, all these machines, they need electricity. They need electricity to run them. Unfortunately, everything was hard this year, but next year, I hope all things will be well.
So my resolution for this year is that we hope there will be peace, hopefully, and once there is peace, of course, there will be improvement in generally everything. This will lead to improvement in the economic sector. We need the roads open. We can see the flight these days is so expensive. If the road will be opened, I think that will the security improve. The road will be open. That will also reduce the competition in the ticket fare. Not only that, we also hope that the peace, when there is peace, there will be improvement in the agricultural sector, because this is the backbone of the country.
First of all, I'm praying for peace. Let us stay in peace. Let us have peace, everybody to be in peace, so that at least we'll progress, because we have a lot to achieve in this country. The second one is, I would like dollar to come down, just that.
My plan is to go back to school. So this is what I am planning for now. I wanted to go back to school because this world now is an educational world. So if you are not educated, then you are not to be considered in the nation.
In 2016, if God's will, for me personally, as a mature person, I want to be an independent person, not to always being relying on my parents or my brothers.
What I want out of the 2016 coming year is that it will be a year of peace, a year of development, a year of progress, and a year of change. And as I have also seen in the faces of many people in southern Sudan.
My resolution for this 2016, I only wish to get a better job. As for now, I'm a graduate, and I'm planning to continue with my studies, going for master's, if God wishes.
My expectation to my life, it is to plan for the good life, either to start businesses or to continue with my school.
My dream in 2016, it's my dream that I want to join midwife. I want to be a midwife. And then secondly, I want also to complete that course so that I can help myself and my family and other people in my community.
At all, I hope, but I'm expecting that there should be peace in South Sudan so that people who want to marry can marry. For example, Dinka who want to marry Nuer, or Acholi want to marry Nuer, or any other tribe that is now at the camp cannot marry because it is difficult for anyone who have his loved one or her loved one in the camp. So you cannot go to the camp and make marry. It is also difficult for a father to organize that marriage. You see, that is difficult. And also on economical line, it is good that if there is peace, then anyone can do his business. It is difficult now for others to go to Juba and bring food items or clothes to the market here in Wau.
Some voices of Wau residents on their expectations and resolutions for 2016. Our thanks to Michael Ateet, who gathered that audio. Later in the show, we'll hear from people in Bor.
2015 has been a hungry year for much of the African continent. In East and Southern Africa, El Nino and climate fluctuations have provoked serious crises. Conflicts in South Sudan and the Central African Republic have had the same effect, as have poverty and a population boom in the Sahel. Africa heads into 2016 amid looming food shortages in several regions. From Johannesburg, VOA's Anita Powell takes a look at what these separate crises have in common.
Hunger has hit Africa hard this year as climate change, conflict, and enduring poverty have ravaged multiple countries and left tens of millions of people in dire straits. Countries as diverse as South Sudan, Malawi, and the Central African Republic have sounded the alarm in recent months. Some, like many southern and East African nations, are suffering from the double whammy of two droughts in a row. Others, like the Central African Republic and Sudan, are in trouble because of conflict and massive displacement. The UN's World Food Program says sub-Saharan Africa already has the world's highest prevalence of hunger. One person in four is undernourished. Every day in Africa, 23 million children go to school hungry. The agency's David Orr says that in the lower half of Africa, where weather is the main culprit, 2015 has been an unusually difficult year.
I think what makes things different this year is the combination of drought and then an El Nino weather event coming right after that, so that people are effectively being hit by two consecutive years of reduced rainfall. And it's particularly difficult on a region where 70% of the population are subsistence farmers.
But African governments say they too have an important role to play, and that the hunger crisis is their failure as well. Malawi's Minister of Finance earlier this year described his nation's hunger situation as a scandal and pledged to do more. In Ethiopia, the government has committed a record sum, $192 million, amid news that as many as 10 million people will face critical food shortages next year because of a crippling drought. John Graham, Save the Children's country director in Ethiopia, told VOA News that African governments need to do more as international donor budgets are increasingly squeezed by crises elsewhere in the world. But he says they still can't do it alone.
The Ethiopian government has stepped up. They pledged about $200 million, which is far more than I've ever seen them pledge for any other emergency. And so I think that they're really trying to do their best. But I think the international community should stand by them and also make big pledges. And so far, you know, I've been here for 18 years, and this is the slowest response that I've seen to this type of crisis.
Elsewhere on the continent, such as in South Sudan, the problems are trickier. There, 2 years of brutal conflict have played a huge role in pushing hundreds of thousands of people to starvation. But aid officials say aid agencies can only do so much on their own, or again.
We and the other humanitarian agencies are there to support the governments, and that's more and more what we are doing. Not just providing lean season relief programs and other forms of food assistance, but actually giving technical support and institutional capacity to really increase the ability of governments to solve these problems for themselves.
That, everyone acknowledges, is a long and difficult process, but one that governments and donors need to tackle if they want to avoid a repeat of 2015. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A new animated web series is aimed at teaching the children of South Sudan about their culture. Meet the creator when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what can be done to improve safety and security in your community?
A lot of people are not educated. They are involved in chaos, in things where they don't know what they are doing. It's just because they are manipulated by the educated people to do the things. If they educate everyone and know what is security and what value, the dignity of their life, security could probably improve.
First of all, there has to be cooperation among the community members. There has to be also awareness on the part of every individual involved.
What should happen is that government or the stakeholders should empower people in the society. They should make everyone a guard of their friend.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Here again are some voices of South Sudanese citizens describing their expectations and resolutions for 2016.
Jack, I'm called Maduk Daniel Mayen. So I want to start the business. But as per this economic crisis, so I think this one will not work. Is that?
My name is Mike Samuel Peter. My resolutions for the new year: to have my own farm, fight hunger in my village, to making sure that things become better. And because dollar has become a problem in the country, so I want to eat food that I produce by myself.
My name is Sabre Malewa Nyenakon. This year I will use my hand to cultivate. If I need a meat, I will have a spear in my hand and go and seek for a fish. I will go for fishing alone if I need a fish, because even a small fish become 100 pounds nowadays. But calculate, if you eat fish twice a week, that one is too much. I will not mention about all, but I will work for farm this year. I will go and make fishing to get fish. I will go for hunting if those of wildlife allow me to eat animal meat.
Yeah, my name is Rhoda Ayuin Malwal. Yeah, I'm 26 years old. Yeah, I wish the new year should not be like 2015. I wish the government should do the best for the people of South Sudan. The government should take another alternative, otherwise to increase the salaries, because he knows when you go to the market you are getting like 600 South Sudanese pound, I think you can only buy only one thing, like a floor, or only that, and nothing else.
My name is Auri Saiper, as an inspector in Bor County Education. I need development. I need settle to be, we need fees and we need education to be settled. Nobody can run again. Yeah, we need adult education to be open everywhere, in the village, in the counties, in Payamat, because most of the women, they are not educated. That is our problem in the state here.
We've been listening to residents of Bor on their expectations and resolutions for the new year. Our thanks to Michael Atit and Jacob Achek for collecting today's audio from WOW and Bor.
A new online cartoon series, which began in late December, aims to entertain and teach South Sudanese children about their history and culture. The web series, called Nyawich and Friends, was inspired by a South Sudanese British girl named Nyawich.
Nyawich and Friends. Nyawich, Nyawich.
That's Nyawich, a witty and talkative 3-year-old who was also a very curious youngster with lots of questions. She's the creation of Nyibol Dim Deng. The show was inspired by Deng's own 3-year-old daughter, who was often glued to the television when local cartoons come on. Deng, who has a background in filmmaking, wanted her daughter and other young South Sudanese children to enjoy a cartoon built around children that looked and talked more like they do.
So I wanted a platform where we can teach, our next generation about
cohabiting with other communities and a sense of oneness. So this next generation, when they grow up, at least they can see a program where different communities, you know, so it's just to bring like a oneness.
Each episode is about 7 minutes long and can be viewed on the video sharing site YouTube. Even with a degree in media and film, Deng says it took her 2 months to learn the software that made Nyawich and her friends come to life. There is no official schedule for when a new episode comes online, but Deng says she hopes to offer at least one new cartoon a month now that she has mastered the software. She says she knew that the animated series could be a good way to attract young viewers, especially during their formative years. She says her target audience is African children between 3 and 10 years old.
This is the age where they're like a sponge, you know? They absorb a lot of the things that they see on TV or wherever. So I was thinking, these shows are all good and well for her to watch, but at the same time, I wanted her to learn something as well as watching the shows.
In the pilot episode, Nyawich has been given the honor of naming her new baby brother. This responsibility makes her wonder what her own name means, so she asks her father.
It means girl of the land, a girl version of that witch.
What about Mandong? What does her name mean?
It means a grandmom in Thognath, which is a newer language.
Okay, Deng, what does your name mean?
My mom told me I was named after my grandfather and that it also means rain in Tong Moindang.
Deng says it was no coincidence that the inaugural episode taught viewers about the significance of names in South Sudan. She says for many in South Sudan, a name is the equivalent of a roadmap to a person's family tree.
It's like for them to have like a sense of closeness, for them to trace back as a sense of belonging or where I'm from. Because after I say like the fifth name, then they're like, oh, okay, we know so-and-so, we know your family, we know this and this and that. So names are a big part in our culture, South Sudanese culture.
As a three-year-old, Nyawich's journey is just beginning. By watching what happens to Nyawich, Deng says she can teach young viewers about the different cultures and languages of South Sudan. She says she's already begun work on the second episode.
And in this episode, we teach the kids how to count in Bari, how to count in Shilluk, how to count in Tongnath, in Tong Moindang, and also in English. So it's the viewers also, they're happy to watch it, so also that they can learn about the languages as well as the culture of South Sudan.
Deng hopes to get the second episode up this month.
One coping mechanism for many South Sudanese during the nearly two-year-long conflict has been staying busy, working at more than one job. A musician, who's popularly known as Isaka No. 1, did just that in order to survive. He says he eventually quit his accounting job to make a living in the music industry. Isaka No. 1 says he does not make a lot of money, but enjoys helping other musicians record and produce good quality music in South Sudan. My colleague John Tanza asked Isaka No. 1 about the secret to succeeding in the music industry and how he came up with his unique name.
My name is actually Isaac Kaluma Bago Gabriel, but people call me Isaka No. 1, as in music industry.
Where is this No. 1 coming from? Why No. 1?
You know, one of my friends actually, he felt very happy when I produced for him one of the music. And then he's like, my friend, you are not only Isaka. That's when they named me Isaka No. 1, Isaka No. 1.
And tell me a little bit about some of your songs, the songs that make you feel proud.
I have this song, it's called Hasada Maku, and I have the other one called Dunia De Mashakil Toketir, and I have Wonusunas, and that one I will not deny, Wonusunas is actually a remix, and I remember the name of the owner of the song, the one who composed, but I just used the music, and I put some words on it. These three songs are the one, you know, people are very happy with it, and I'm even feeling like it really got a place.
Let's start with these titles. Hasada Maku means someone who envies the other person. Why do you sing about envy? Yeah.
When I stay in my silent mood, automatically when I find myself in playing guitar or keyboard, I will find myself composing something which is coming gradual, like a first stanza follows the second, like this. At the end of the day, you'll find me compose a song complete.
Do you have a guitar next to you there? You can sing to us one of your songs?
I have a guitar, yes.
Sing that song, Hasada Maako. Can you just give us a little bit of words from it?
It's like this. Finas mazukele hayata nasiraba. Finas mazukele hayata nasigeru. Finas mazukele hayata nasisala. Umon mazu kele hayata kigeru. Umon mazu kele hayata kisala. Kanumona inuita biga indu boda boda. Kanumona inuita geru mobile jedit. Kanumona inuita biga mul ikilimi. Kanumona inuita biga mul arabia suker. Umon mazu kele hayata kigeru. Yeah.
Let's leave it at that, and we will listen to more of that in the program later. But, Isaka, there's a problem that I keep hearing from other musicians from South Sudan. They are saying that the industry is having issues. What kind of issues are you facing as a musician in South Sudan?
You know, honestly speaking, here, musicians, they don't want to come, and sit down, look for the ways to, bring up the music and a good future so that any of the artists will get his rights. This is the problem facing us, That's why sometimes we'll find, they're fighting, they're envy and all this.
Have you done any recordings of your songs and put them in a CD and you sell them to people?
I did my songs, actually, but I want to do them once when I finish with my videos. Because right now I've started with my videos, I want to start. After finishing, then I will put them one and I will sell.
You sing only about social lives, but politics is part of life. Why are you shying away from politics? You don't sing about the problems of the country.
No, as in politics, sometimes I do that one.
Oh, you're afraid that they will arrest you? Are you afraid that they will arrest you?
not that I'm afraid, but I do because politics is there. Yeah, it's right for me to sing about it, but as for me, I'm much concerned about the community problems first. And then politics will come. And we have some of the artists who are singing also about that. That's why, I'm not taking that much interest on that one.
Marhab fi junub Sudan. Marhab fi junub Sudan. Ya burush hadid. Marhab fi junub Sudan. Marhab fi junub Sudan. Ya burush hadid. Ya jama burush al hadid. Ja kanas. Ya mama burush al hadid. Ja kanas. Ashan mafi belet bi kun bi dun gurush hadid.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you married?
Yeah, thank God I'm married. I have a wife.
How many wives? One or two?
One, only one.
The reason why I'm asking you how many is because some musicians have many wives. When they come on the stage, they're popular every... popularity comes with a problem. Problem is that everybody will want to be your friend.
Have you gone
into that problem?
No. I've not even thought of that one before.
And how does your wife feel when you are performing on the stage and the people are yelling and cheering you?
Actually, she's a very social woman. She's a very kind woman for me, as I can say. And she has no problem. She understands, you know. As an artist, you know, there are some things that will happen like that. You know, sometimes when you will be on stage, ladies will come on hugging you and all this. But for her, she understands.
She doesn't slap you after the show?
No, no, no.
So there's no slap. Huh? You've never received any slap from her. She must have loved you so much.
I know. Inside, maybe she will feel bad, but she will not, you know, show it out to people to know. But it's there. Come on, yani. She will feel bad, but at the end of the day, she will understand that it happens normally.
Some musicians only do music and they don't do any other thing beside music. Do you have any other part-time thing that you do apart from music?
Actually, I was an auditor because I did business administration based on accounting. Then I used to work with auditing firm, but I stopped that one. I've started my music, and then I have my small studio where I'm recording my things, and friends comes to me. So that I also produce for them songs like Emmanuel Kembe. He used to come to me here.
So you did accounting in the university, and you worked as an auditor handling money. You were handling other people's money, and now you want to handle yours, and you decided to leave the job. Money became very sweet, and you decided to do it on your own.
Yeah, it could be like that.
That's Isaka number one, speaking earlier with my colleague John Tanza. And that's our show this New Year's Day. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
And I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. We leave you with more music from Isaka number one and his song Anahibu Ita. We wish you all a very happy and prosperous New Year. As always, thank you for listening and join us again next year for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
My papa, you are the one I need. Now go tell my mama, they be nearly anahibu, girl batai. Sweetie, sweetie, yeah, kalam tanasi, kelema kabasita, kalam tanasi, kelema odurita, Ivana baby. Rudana baby, Zeana Uruita, Shilana baby, Zeana Shiluita,
Mas, number one.